This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muslims, we give respect to the Quran, alhamdulillah. But many of us, they go beyond the limit. They give so much respect that they forget for what purpose the Quran was revealed. You know, we keep the Quran on the topmost shelf. Alhamdulillah. They keep it so much on top that it's difficult to reach. And the Quran catches dust. You know, the Quran is a book of guidance. It's a guidebook. You know, suppose if you are studying, the guidebook is normally at a shelf which is reachable. You know, it's kept at a shelf which you can reach the easiest. You won't keep it on top where it's difficult to take a stool to get it down. So Quran is a book we should be referred every day. It should be handy. And many of us Muslims, you know, we tie the Quran in a pure silk cloth. And then we tie a knot on it. Suppose if you want to read the Quran, you start thinking, okay, 5 minutes to open the Quran. 5 minutes again to tie the Quran, 10 minutes. The thought of you opening the Quran and again tying it will be a deterrent. And if you have 10 minutes, 10 minutes abhi kholne mein aur bandhne mein jayenge. If you have 10 minutes time, you know, to open the Quran, close 10 minutes, so better not read the Quran. See, we have to respect the Quran, but the main respect is in the heart. I'm not against keeping the Quran on top, don't get me wrong. But see to it that it is accessible. It's easily available for guidance. You know, many of us Muslims, before touching the Quran, we scrutinize 1,000 things as though it's an RDX bomb. Quran, wearing shoes, can I touch the Quran? Can I read the Quran while standing? Can I read it in the office? All these things, they prevent you from reading the Quran. We scrutinize the Quran as though it's an RDX bomb going to explode. The Quran is a book of guidance. Now that is the reason many of us Indians object to, you know, the Arabs, mashallah, the way they treat the Quran, they give respect. But as though it's a guide, it's available. We Muslims keep it on topmost shelf, you know, in India. It's catching dust. And rarely will we find people, when they have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, they refer to the Quran, because there is, you know, we have to have that frame of mind, and then we have to see 10 things, we can't be in shoes, we can't stand, and we have to have a hat over your head, etc., etc. See, many things are good, but don't make life so difficult that the main purpose of the Quran is for guidance is defeated. And very often, if you go to the Gulf countries, you know, many of the Arabs, when they come for Salah a few minutes before, you find them taking the Quran and reading. In India, rarely will you find that. And suppose someone is reading in the first row, and someone takes the Quran and reads in the second row, there'll be a person who'll object. How can you read the Quran in the second row? The back is facing the Quran, haram. Khalas. And if you have to sit in the mosque, and suppose at your home or in the mosque, if by mistake, if you happen to read the Quran while your back facing Qibla, khalas, you'll get fatwa, haram. You know, you can't read the Quran with your back facing the Qibla, back facing the Kaaba. I've been to Haram several times in Makkah, several times. You know, they have this Talim al-Quran, they have these Hifz classes, you know. And the students sit in rows. Many of the backs face the Quran of the other student who's carrying a Quran in the hand. And many a time the teacher is facing the Kaaba and the student's backs are facing the Kaaba. So where do they get this from? Which verse of the Quran, which hadith, I don't know. So we have to love the Quran, we have to respect, but we have to know that the main reason the Quran was revealed was for hidayah, was for guidance. Once there was an Indian imam, very good Qari. He went to Saudi Arabia. And because he was famous, it was Maghrib time. So they told the Qari, they told the Imam, Imam, you lead the Salah. So the Indian Imam, he goes and he leads the Salah for Maghrib. He recites and he finishes the Salah. And when he finishes the Salah, one Saudi smiles at him. So then he asks, that what's the problem? Was there any problem in my qiraat? So the Saudi told him, no, your qiraat was wonderful. I was only wondering that when you recited Surah Yusuf, you put Yusuf alayhi salam in the well, but before you complete the salah, why didn't you get him out of the well? This anecdote would be understood only by those people who read the Quran with understanding. Those who don't read the Quran with understanding will not be able to understand this anecdote. The Saudi was telling him, if you read Surah Yusuf, it speaks about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, that how he was betrayed by his brothers, and his brothers put him in the well, and later on a caravan comes, and Yusuf alayhi salam has got out of the well. So the Saudi tells him that you recited very well, but in your salah you put Yusuf alayhi salam in the well, but at least before ending the salah you should have brought him out of the well. That means we start the surah from anywhere, and we end it anywhere without realizing, have we completed the meaning or not? We Muslims, we have several excuses for not reading the Quran with understanding. And we always give excuses for not reading. We have the time to read books, volumes, memorize them, but the glorious Quran, which is the last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately, we don't take out time to read the message of our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.